Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2, and we will read some verses over there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Matthew chapter number 2. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. If you've got a Scofield Bible, it's page 995. And we're going to read in verse 16 down through verse number 18, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. It's good to have everybody and see everybody, and good to have any visitors we might have this morning. I don't see any first-time visitors, but it is good to see everybody. Good to see Baker. He's in from school and for Christmas break, so we're glad he's here. But if you found your place, Matthew chapter 2, verse number 16, I really desire your prayers this morning. Let's read verse 16. The Bible said, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." Let's pray. Lord, we just come this morning and we're thankful for all the blessings, Lord, that you've given to us. And as we come today, we think about our nation. And the many broken hearts of those, Lord, that today are weeping for their children. And dear Lord, I really need your help today, and I pray for it. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts from the Word of God and help us and give liberty and power of the Holy Spirit. And dear God, I just pray that, Lord, the Word of God would speak to our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit today. God, we realize there's an open wound in our nation. And Lord, if we're not bothered by what goes on round about us, well, we're not much. We're not very good Christians if these things don't bother us. So Lord, we come asking for your help today. And we ask you to speak to hearts, Lord. And we ask you to revive your people, because we realize that's the only hope for our nation, is a real revival. So I pray you to have your way. In Jesus' name, and amen. I want to read that verse number 18 again. And the Bible says, "In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." And I want to point out that phrase there where the Bible says, "Rachel weeping for her children." And I want to try to preach on the subject this morning. I want to change one word in that little phrase in the Bible. It says Rachel weeping for her children. But I won't try to preach on the subject this morning of weeping for our children. Weeping for our children. And those of you that are Bible readers this morning, you will know that Rachel was Jacob's wife. Jacob in the Bible, when we're talking about Jacob, that's the Jacob who God changed his name to Israel. And when God changed his name to Israel, that made him the patriarch of all. He was the patriarch. He was the father of all the tribes of Israel. So God changed his name to Israel, but Rebekah, or Rachel, I mean, being his wife, she's the matriarch. And she represents, this is not talking about Rachel herself, but her being the matriarch and the wife of Jacob, she represents all the mothers weeping for their children. She represents the whole nation. The whole country, everybody that lived in that area that were weeping for their children, that she represents all of them. And the Bible says here in verse number 18, if you notice, it said there, there's a reason. But it says in verse number 18 that there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. And the reason for that was the slaughter of the children. That's what this is talking about. It's talking about when Herod went and slew, the Bible says, slaughtered, violently murdered all those children, it caused the whole nation to weep and to mourn, and there's a great lamentation and a great weeping and a great crying over these children, all of them being under 2 years old, that Herod went in there and slew and killed them all. And on Friday, just a couple of days ago, December the 14th, 2012, there's a young man, his name was Adam Lanza. And he went to the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. And he gunned down 26 people. 20 of them were children. At first it said between 5 and 10 years old, but yesterday I heard that they said that all these 20 children were first graders. I read in the newspaper this morning that there were people that were planning funerals for children that still, some of them still had their baby teeth. And the medical examiner said that he believed that all of them were in the first grade. Something unusual about this last tragedy that's happened in our country is that there were no survivors. There's nobody in the hospital that they hope will recover and get better. And what they have found so far is that every child that was killed had between 3 and 11 bullet holes in them. When he done this, he made sure that he killed all those children. I don't know yet how that it all came about or anything, but evidently as he probably gathered them in a room together, he made sure that he slaughtered, that he slew every one of those children. And it's very unusual in something like this that there are no survivors whatsoever other than the ones that made it out. But any of them that were shot, they were killed. In our whole nation today and in Newtown, Connecticut and all over America, we as a nation are weeping for our children, and we should be weeping for our children. If that doesn't bother us, there's something seriously wrong with us, spiritually speaking. If something like that doesn't bother us, and we are not very concerned as the people of God. But I want us to look today in the Word of God at this passage of Scripture. Do you know this is very often associated with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Before this even happened, I was planning on preaching out of Matthew chapter number 2 this Sunday. Verse number 1, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." I was going to preach on the wise men, but I just couldn't get settled on it. I began to read and study a little bit more, and I'm preaching from the passage of Scripture right after the visit of the wise men. But I want to notice about 3 or 4 things this morning about weeping for our children. Very interesting from the Word of God. I believe it'll be a help and a blessing to us, and I hope and pray that it will. I want to point out first of all from this passage of Scripture something that I had come across, I'd never thought about before, but I want to point out in verses 16 and 17 that there was no advance weeping for their children. The Bible said in verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men," you see, he had told the wise men, "When you find Jesus, You come back and tell me. Because I want to go worship him too. But Herod was a liar and a tyrant and a beast of a person. And he never had any intention whatsoever of going and worshiping Jesus. But he wanted to kill the competition. That's why he went about and slew all these children in this region of the area. But anyway, it said in verse number 17 there, verse number 16, slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Notice verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying. Do you know, as I studied about that, you know what, this morning? They should have known that something like this was bound to happen. They should have known what it says right here in the Word of God. They had been forewarned. They had been told. It's not like they didn't have the Word of God. It's not like they didn't read the Word of God. It's not like they didn't have a copy of the book of Jeremiah. That's what that's referring to. They should have known that something like this was going to happen. It's spelled out very plainly in Jeremiah chapter number 31, which we'll look at a little bit later this morning. But they would have known that that passage of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter number 31 was speaking specifically about them as a people. And they would have also known that it was talking about the place that they lived. What if in the Bible there was a passage of Scripture that mentioned Boone, North Carolina, and it had not been fulfilled? Don't you think you'd pay attention to that? They should have known that something like this was bound to take place. They knew that Herod, I did some study about Herod. There's different Herods in the Bible. But this, he's called Herod the Great. And he's the daddy of all of them. They were all wicked, ungodly people, but he took the cake. Anybody that would kill a bunch of children has to be the king tyrant. And that's what he did. And they knew. If you study about Herod, they knew that he was a cruel and a ruthless person, even though, if you study about Herod, you know what he was? He was I'm not being political this morning, but I'm telling you, he was a big government job creator. That's what he did. He put people to work. He's famous for things that he built and all of the commerce that he created and all the jobs and all the work and all the great things. You know, he helped build the temple back. It took 50 years. But just because you pretend to be a friend to somebody doesn't mean that you're really their friend. Because although he helped build the temple back, he also slew the Jewish children and killed all of them under 2 years old. He was a tyrant. And they knew that he was a tyrant, but you know what? They weren't concerned about him being such a monster. They went to work. They ignored all that bad news about Herod and all of these things. And I'm sure they, just like we are, I'm sure they thought, you know, well, it'll be all right. That's how we are. That's how we talk about things. We know how things are and we know what the Bible says. We know that there's bad news. We know that the Bible says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We know that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But you know what? We just go right on and say, well, I hope it'll be all right. I hope it'll be all right. We ought to be weeping now in advance of what is to come in the world, but we're not weeping now. We're working and going about our business and just hoping that everything will just work out and be all right, just like them. Just like them. There was no advance weeping for their children. But second of all this morning, look in verse number 18. When this tragedy came and the children when they were slaughtered, there was no avail to their weeping for their children. Look at verse 18. It said in Ramah, there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping. and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not, is what the Bible says. And that perfectly describes what happened then and what is happening even today in America. Do you know, it's very interesting to me, if you look up the word Rachel and what her name means, it means a ewe, a female sheep, a mama sheep. It's what the name Rachel means. And it says Rachel, like a mama sheep, weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. You know, when I was a little boy, my grandpa, he kept sheep. And every year when the sheep would have lambs, after a little while, they'd take the lambs away from the mama sheep and they would take the lambs off to market. And those sheep, when they took their lambs away, you could go down there to visit my grandparents, and he'd bring his sheep in of the night, and they'd taken the lambs away, and you could hear them mama sheep out there, and I'd ask my grandpa, I'd say, "What's wrong with the sheep?" He'd say, "They're bawling because he took their lambs away." And for about 2 days out there, they would bawl, and you never heard such a commotion in your life. You get about 10 or 12 adult ewe sheep together in a barn. You talk about raising the roof, and what an awful sound those sheep are bawling for their lambs. But you know what? They're not coming back. They're gone. That's exactly how it is here in the Word of God. All the weeping, all the crying, all the wailing, all the moaning, all of that things, that's what all those words mean. Lamentation, weeping, great mourning, all of that that's going on, it's not going to bring back one child. It won't comfort one heart. Not one child is even going to get better and get out of the hospital from all this tragedy as I've been talking about. There's a great weeping. The newspaper this morning talked about it affected people in all different areas of the world. People that knew people. People that lived up there. People that were in Puerto Rico were somehow connected and had family connections, and they were planning a funeral to come up this week. And there's going to be crying and moaning and weeping for years and years and years, but it'll not bring back one child. I was thinking about, can you imagine this morning? I can't imagine going through my house and going by one of my children's bedroom and looking in and seeing their bed where they sleep and looking in and knowing that they'll never, ever be back. But there's a lot of people in our country this morning going through those very same things. They'll sit down at the supper table and there'll be an empty chair. I'm telling you, that'd tear your heart out. That'd break your heart, but all the crying that they're going to do. And it just won't be for a little while. I read in the newspaper that there was a lot of people up there that's taking down their Christmas lights. There's no doubt already gifts under the tree with a little name on them that'll never be opened up. That would break your heart. Say, "Preacher, I don't think you ought to preach on stuff like that. I don't think we preach on stuff like that enough. Try to be all happy clappy all the time and act like there's nothing wrong, and the heart of our nation is ought to be torn out." And they'll weep for years to come. Every time a birthday comes around, every time the ones that's in elementary school, when they graduate and they go into the next middle school, they'll be weeping over those that's not there. When they graduate from high school, they'll be weeping over those that's not there. And every time birthdays roll around, every time Christmas rolls around, every time December the 14th rolls around, there's going to be weeping and crying for probably two generations over this one thing that's happened in our country. But all that weeping and all that crying year after year is not going to bring them back. The weeping is to no avail. Look what the Bible says. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. They're gone. They're gone. There's no avail to their weeping, but let me get you to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 31, and this is where it gets very interesting to me and very applicable to us this morning, although we're hundreds of miles removed from what's really going on in another area of our country. Don't you think that don't apply to us? We ought to be weeping for our children. Jeremiah chapter number 31 is where you find this prophecy about Rachel weeping for her children. And I want to start out in Jeremiah 31 in verse number 22 and read this verse because it changes everything. Jeremiah 31 in verse number 22, the Bible says this, "How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man." Now, number three this morning, there's a new admonition. You notice here the Word of God says, "For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man." Do you know that refers to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what that's talking about. There's a new thing, God said. And you know what this morning, because there's a new thing in the earth referring to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there can be a new admonition this morning. Now look back in verse number 15. That's where it's talking about Rachel weeping for her children. But you keep in mind this is talking about in the context of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that a virgin, a woman would compass a man. It's talking about the virgin birth. But in verse number 15, the Bible said, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, rail, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." It's what the Word of God says. That's Matthew chapter 2, verse 18. But now look on down what the Bible says in verse 16. What does God say about this? I'd never noticed this before. But the Bible says in verse 16 about that Rachel weeping for her children. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they," this is talking about those children that were slaughtered, "they shall come again from the land of the enemy." Boy, I like that. God said, "They shall come again from the land of the enemy." Our devotional this morning was out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and the subject was our risen Lord. Does anybody know what 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 26 says? See, here it's talking about they shall come again from the land of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 26 says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Praise God, they're going to come back from the land of the enemy. How come, preacher? Because Jesus Christ was born, and because Jesus Christ lived, and because He died upon the cross for our sins, and because He rose again on the third day. Death is one day going to be destroyed. Thank God. Doesn't it get hard in this life sometimes? I like verse number 17. It said, "And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border." Praise God. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ today. God was reminding the children of Israel concerning this slaughter of the children. God said, "They might be gone, but you need to refrain from crying because they'll not be gone forever." God said, "I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back into the land of their own land and they dwell in their own border." Praise God for that. All these innocent children that's been slaughtered down through the years in abortions, been slaughtered in the schools by these maniacs and these evil people. You know what? God will bring them back. God will bring them back. There's hope. It's what the Word of God says. There's real hope in the Bible. Verse 17, and there is hope in thine end is what the Word of God says. I like that song we sung this morning, He Lives. I like that song we sing, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, thank God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Christmas and what it really means to us this morning. Hey, you can take your Christmas lights down. I understand that. But don't take the nativity down. Because that's the only reason there's any hope for anybody. That's what it really means this morning. It's that little baby in a manger that was God manifested in the flesh. That God came to dwell among His people and die for our sins. And raise again the third day so that we can have eternal life. We cannot bring them back. There's no amount of weeping that'll bring a child back, but God can bring them back because He lives. I've had people ask me, well, what happens to babies when they die? What happens to little children when they die? What happens if there's a car accident? What happens to these little children? I'll tell you this morning what happens to children when they die. They go to heaven. That's what happens to children when they die. I had somebody ask me one time. I said, he was a Calvinist, just an extreme viewpoint on the thing. And he said, well, what if they were not one of the elect? Some people are so ignorant, it's hard to even answer them. What about David over there? David and Bathsheba, and they committed adultery, and it's wrong, and it's bad, and all that stuff, but she became a child, and when that little baby was born, the little baby was sick, and it tore the heart of David out. And he fasted, and he wouldn't eat, and he wouldn't wash himself. And I can just imagine they had that little baby, the best doctors in the land coming in and the best nurses and anybody that could pray and everything. And I'm telling you, they's concerned about that little baby. And I can imagine David going down there for day only and holding that little baby's hand saying, God, please. God, if it be your will, let this child live. But the Word of God says that the little baby died. And the servants, they didn't want to tell David about the baby dying because of the way he'd been, and he wouldn't eat, and he wouldn't wash himself, and he wasn't himself, and boy, they dreaded telling him. But you know what? They went and told David. He said, I'm going to get cleaned up. I'd like for somebody to make me something to eat. And they said, they didn't understand. They didn't understand why David could have such a change about him. And he said, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. He shall not return. He's all right. He's in heaven. David didn't say, well, if he wasn't one of, that's so foolish. He said, I can go to him. That's one child David never got no gray hairs over, and he knew exactly where that little baby was. He knew that little child was all right because he had died and went to heaven. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, about the little children, He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. There's a lot of little babies in heaven. There's a lot of little children in heaven. I'm telling you this morning, it's going to be all right with them. I know how people are. Well, they've been robbed. They'll never get to grow up. Hey, God is a just God, and God will make it right. They're not dead. Oh, they're not here with us, but it's not that they don't exist. It's not that they're gone forever. God is able to bring them back because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can walk up on the hill behind my house and I can look down over into our family cemetery. There's a cherry tree over there in the corner of that cemetery. Me and my brother and all our friends, we used to climb when we was little boys, and we used to pick the cherries out of that tree and just eat them till we about got sick. When I was a little boy, I never imagined, never entered my mind that one day I'd bury a little daughter right under that tree we used to play and climb and eat the cherries out of. And I was up there a while back and I looked down into the graveyard and I thought about her. But I said, God, she's not there. God, she's not there. She's in heaven. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll never worry about her. I worry about them other rascals I've got. But I don't worry about her. Praise God, she's all right. One day we'll meet again. Praise God, there's a new admonition from the Word of God about weeping for these children. But then I move on this morning. I know there's hope in verse number 17. There's hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Praise God. But there's a needed application in verse 18 and verse number 19. The Bible said over there, this is God speaking to the children of Israel about the slaughter of them children. What it all meant, why. Look what he said in verse 18. He said, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. This is what Ephraim said. Thou hast chastened me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. See, the context of this passage of Scripture is, it moves from weeping for the children. God said, refrain thyself from weeping for the children. And he goes on in what God says in this passage of Scripture, you ought to be weeping for yourself. And that's what they did. You look there in verse 18, he said, I've surely heard Ephraim, I underline this, bemoaning himself. That's who we need to be weeping for this morning. Bemoaning himself, and they are weeping for themselves and this chastisement that comes upon them, and that's what it is. He said, thus thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. That's how our nation is wild. We have got out from underneath God and just running wild. And you look what he said there, it's a prayer. We cannot do anything in and of ourselves until we come to the place to see our true condition. And he said in verse 18, he said, turn thou me and I shall be turned. You can't even get right with God unless God helps you. And that's what they prayed for. Turn thou me. I've been chastised. God, we felt it. Down in our soul we felt it. God, would you turn us again? And then he said in verse 19, surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that, I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. There is a turning back to God. There is a repentance over there, going away from God. But you listen in our country, boy, if something don't change, it'll just be the same old thing. For all the chastening that our country has endured in the past 10 or 20 years, you know what they'll be talking about. They'll come along and say, now I'll tell you what we need to do about this. We need to have a real serious conversation about this. We need to get rid of the guns. That's what they're already talking about. Well, we need to get rid of guns. If we get rid of guns, we wouldn't have things like this. Well, let me tell you, a couple of weeks ago after Thanksgiving, there's a 25-year-old young man. His name is Christopher Crum. He lived in Vernon, Connecticut. And after Thanksgiving, he took off and he drove all the way to the state of Wyoming where his father lived. This just happened. When he got there, I don't know how long he spent, but he went to his father's house and his father had a girlfriend that lived with him and he took a knife and he stabbed her to death in the front yard. Then he got in the car and he drove a couple of miles down to the community college where his father was a teacher. The young man took a bow and an arrow and shot his father in the head and killed him. And then he took a knife and killed his own self. Do we need to get rid of all the bows and arrows and all the knives? Would that stop people killing people? No, it wouldn't. Wouldn't stop a thing. Wouldn't change a thing. That same weekend in the NFL, the football, a football player named Javon Belcher, been drinking all night long, got up one morning, went and shot and killed his girlfriend. They had about a five-month-old little baby together. He drove down to the training facility and got all his coaches together and shot himself in the parking lot. Bob Costas got on Sunday Night Football during halftime, and he told everybody if we didn't have guns, that wouldn't have happened. But you know, the very next weekend, the Dallas Cowboys, they had some players, and they'd been out drinking together. And one of them players was driving the car, and they'd all been out drinking. Now they're drinking and driving. They're coming home after drinking, partying, and all that stuff. He hits a curb, flips the car, kills a football player named Jerry Brown for drinking and driving. Foolish. Totally unnecessary. Bob Costas didn't get on TV that night and say, well, to get rid of alcohol. Well, to outlaw cars because people gets killed in cars. Why don't somebody just get on TV and tell the real truth? We've forsaken God. We've forgotten God. We put our fist up in the air to God and we've snubbed God and we've throwed God out of the school and out of the court and out of everything else. And that's what a problem is. Until we do something about that, nothing is going to change what happens in our country. Amen. Amen. That's what's wrong in our country. We have forsaken God. Some of you grew up in school. You never had anything like that. You didn't have to worry about taking your children to school and somebody coming in and killing all of them. But they prayed in school and they had the Bible and they had families that tried their best to stay together and love one another and do what was right. And it was a different time. Why don't somebody talk about that? Why don't somebody talk about putting all these children? Do you know the great majority, the great, great majority of these mass murders, these young people have been on mind-altering drugs, Ritalin and Prozac and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, that has an effect. Violent video games and all that kind of stuff. We as a nation have forsaken God. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 1? God said, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. God said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Ye have said it not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. God said, because I tried and you wouldn't listen. Look what God said. I will laugh in your calamity, at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Read it when you get home. You want to know what's wrong with our country this morning, what the real problem is? I've carried this in my Bible for almost a year. It was in the newspaper Wednesday, December 21st, 2011. That's almost a year ago. And it's an article, and it said, woman upset about son receiving a Bible at school. Remember me telling you about that? The Gideons, them old mean Gideons. I don't know if anybody knows any of them, but them old Gideons. Well, you read this article, you know what they done? They took a box of Bibles down to an elementary school, left them in the office. And somehow this woman's son got one of them Bibles, and she got the American Civil Liberties Union involved in it. They said that school had stepped over the line. How dare them allow a box of Bibles in the principal's office? That woman said about it, it's totally inappropriate. They think they can get away with this, she said. It's absolutely unbelievable, and their attitude is ridiculous. You want to know what's wrong with our country? Stuff like that's what's wrong with our country. Oh, Lord, whatever you do, I mean, give them condoms and unlimited access to every evil, ungodly thing under the sun on the internet, but don't give them a Bible. Whatever you do, don't pray for them at a football game. Don't have no scriptures hanging around. Then when they die and go to hell, and when all the devil comes in and wrecks and ruins and destroys, everybody says, where was God? Why did God allow this to happen? I've already heard people say that. Where was God in all this? Why did God allow this to happen? Look in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 8. I'm going to be done right here in a moment this morning. We'll find an answer to this thing. Where's God at? Why did God allow something like this to happen? I'm not going to read or preach through all of this, but Luke chapter number 8. Jesus is on a ship. He comes to the coast of Gadara. He gets off the boat. There's a man there that comes out of the tombs and meets him. The Bible said in Luke 8:27, when he went forth to land, he got off the boat. There met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. This man was demon possessed. Do you know these people still has devils today? Say, what's wrong with people? He'd go. What's wrong with that boy that he'd go in and kill all them people? I'm telling you, he's full of the devil. Possessed with demons. That's the only way somebody could do something like that. This man in the scripture, nobody could do anything with him. He wear no clothes. What's that sound like? He wouldn't live among everybody else. He just hung out in the graveyard. Look around. Look around at how people do and dress and act. But he met the Lord. And Jesus saved him, cast the devils out of him. And when everybody came back and seen that man, the Bible said he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Woo-hoo! For what Jesus can do. Nobody else could do anything with him. Praise God, he did. And there that fellow was. Saved him, cleaned him up, put the clothes on him. And then that man wanted to go with Jesus when he left. And Jesus said, no, you can't go with me. He said, go home to thy friends. Tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Made a missionary out of him. Praise God. I'm telling you, that whole town should have been shouting and running and praising God over what Jesus done for that troublesome man that lived in their midst. But you know what they did? Jesus cast the devils out into the swine. The swine ran down the steep place into the lake and they drowned in the water. You read on down, look at verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Did you see that? The Bible said there, and I underlined this in my Bible, the whole country said, get out of here. We don't want you. That's what the Bible says. The whole country came out. They should have been shouting and praising God, but the whole country came out and they said, we don't want you here. This got into our pocketbook. This got into our money-making ability. They's mad over them swine. And they said, "We want you to leave." And did you see what the Bible said about him? See, the Lord Jesus is a gentleman. And they said, "We don't want you here." They besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. He didn't stay for dinner when they didn't want him. He got off the boat, went, dealt with that man full of devils. They came out there, told him to leave, and he got right back on that boat and left them. You don't want God? God will not stay around. You know what's happening in our country? The Bible says that safety is of the Lord. So if you don't have the Lord, I don't care what you do, you don't have safety. It's in the book of Proverbs. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord, is what the Word of God says. Hey, where was God in all this? Hey, our country doesn't want God. So now we've come to the place we don't have Him. We don't have Him like we used to have Him, that's for sure. And the Lord Jesus Christ left. And let me tell you something today. If you don't think something exactly like that couldn't happen in sleepy little old Watauga County, North Carolina, you are delusional. Every elementary school in our county has children in it whose parents, no doubt, are in a mortal feud between each other. Broken homes, broken families, hating each other. Hey, it's already happened right down in Zionville. Love triangles and all this bunch of junk, people running around and broken homes and children all foaming, tossed to the wind and everything. And then you've got the college. Them people that's committed them crimes, a lot of them came. They said about this boy, Kit, that he was a genius. He's on the honor roll. He's what the world would hand up and say, would hold up and say, look, we're proud of this fella. He's of our own making. He's exactly the boy that went out and committed this awful thing. It could happen here. It is past time in our country that we as God's people applied 2 Chronicles 7:14 and quit playing and being religious and really got down to being right with God. If my people, you know what this morning? I don't know what the government will do about this, but I promise you this, it ain't going to do nothing. Whatever they do, they're not going to do nothing. Because the answer does not lie with the government. It does not lie with more money and more programs and more laws, but the answer does lie with us. Government can't do nothing, but you and I can. See, this is right in our lap as the people of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. It's what the Word of God says. Well, our hearts go out this morning and we wish there's something that we could do. You know there is. But it cost us something. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.